Well, hello. Welcome. I'm glad you've taken this time to join us this afternoon, and I hope that these times are a blessing to you. And I know I say this afternoon, I don't know when you're watching it, but it's middle of the afternoon as I record this, and it's a blessing to have this time together to be with our Lord. And at whatever point of your day that you get to watch these, I hope that they are a blessing to you. I hope that you get to encounter the Lord. I'm so thankful he's given us this opportunity. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki again for making it possible. But above all else, we do want to thank the Lord. And as we are really coming together for the sole purpose of meeting with him, let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you again for the day that you have given to us. And oh Lord God, the fact that you want us to know you. You want us to be in a relationship with you. And Father, I pray, oh God, through this time that we have together, Lord, that you will enable us to see you, to know you, to experience you, to grow in you. Lord, to be able to love you better, to be able to trust you more. Father, just to be able to see you in your glory and your might and your splendor. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as believers, we love to talk about prayer. We love to preach about prayer and teach about prayer. We love to go from the angle of having some need or some problem, seeking the Lord in prayer, and then seeing God work and move in some wonderful, powerful way in that situation and solving it. And many times that's exactly what takes place, and we can probably all give testimony of that. Of times we did have some need, and we prayed, and we saw God begin to work and move, and we can see just the perfect solution to the problem. And our God truly does work and move in relation to our prayer. But what about those times when we haven't, as of this moment, seen God work or move in that situation? Now, I'm not doubting or trying to even suggest the fact that he's not going to move. We know ultimately God solves all things. We know that God works all things together for our good. But I'm talking about when we've had a problem or a need, and as of this moment, we've prayed, and it seems as if God has, in fact, done nothing. Well, this is exactly where the psalmist is when we come to Psalm 44. You think about what he's expressing. Look with me, and we're going to drop into the middle of the psalm just to show the spiritual, emotional burden, if you will, that the psalmist was under. But you think about what he's saying here. In Psalm 44, begin reading of verse 9 and go through verse 16. Yet you have rejected us and have brought us to dishonor and do not go out with our armies. You cause us to turn back from the adversary, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You've given us as sheep to be eaten, have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people cheaply. You've not profited by their sale. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my dishonor is before me, and my humiliation has overwhelmed me. Because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. Drop down to verse 19. Yet you have crushed us in the place of jackals, and covered us with the shadow of death. Look at verses 22 through 25. But for your sake, we're killed all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Arouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is sunk down into the dust. Our body cleaves to the earth. Rise up, be our help. Redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness. It's obvious for the psalmist, the situation, the circumstances, they're bad. They're getting worse. And there's been no answer from God. And again, you may be in that exact same situation. You're a believer. You're a child of God. You prayed. You know God answers prayer. But as of this moment, you have not seen an answer to that problem. You've not seen a meeting for that need. You have not seen him intervene and deliver you from that circumstance. You've prayed. Nothing's changed. May even have gotten worse. But you certainly have not seen an answer. What do we do when it seems as if God is doing nothing? Well, look what the psalmist did. Number one, remember God's past works. Look at verses 1 through 3. O God, we've heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us the work that you did in their days and the days of old. You drove with your own hand, you with your own hand drove out the nations. Then you planted them. You afflicted the peoples. Then you spread them abroad. You see what he's doing? He's looking back at what God did in the past, specifically when God gave the children of Israel the promised land. But he's looking back and reminding himself of how God worked. You know, nothing will build or strengthen our faith like spending time with God in his word and allowing him to show us how he has moved and has worked in the past. You know, the many wonderful, and the more you look at those situations, the more you see. You know, many times the wonderful works and miracles of God actually came after a season of delay, where God allowed the need to be intensified and felt, only when things, in fact, had gotten worse. You think about God fulfilling the promise to Abraham of a descendant of Isaac. It did not come immediately. In fact, that's the whole gist of Abraham's life when we study it, is that waiting upon God in faith for the gift of Isaac. You think of other deliverances. I think about Hezekiah when God delivered Judah from the Assyrians in 2 Chronicles 32. You think about how God waited until the situation seemed almost helpless and hopeless before God miraculously intervened. You think back on your own life. I guarantee you, if you look back, you'll see times where it seems for a long period God did nothing about that problem, whatever the problem was at that time in your life, or didn't do anything to really meet that need. Only after things had just gone on, after things had gotten worse. But God wonderfully, perfectly moved. We need to remember God's past works. But then we also need to be very careful that, number two, we rely on God alone. Look at verses 4 through 8, especially verse 6. You are my king, O God. Command your victories for Jacob. Through you we will push back our adversaries. Through your name we will trample down those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. But you have saved us from our adversaries. You put to shame those who hate us. In God we've boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Look again at verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. Think about what he's saying. God, I can't do it. God, you alone can save me. You know, one of the temptations we face when time continues to drag out and it seems as if God's not doing anything is to take matters into our own hands and force a solution. And the problem is we don't make a real solution. We just make the original problem worse. You think about Abraham and Sarah as they waited for Isaac. Remember how they tried to force a solution and Ishmael was the result? And the turmoil that came in the family because of that, and the turmoil between the seed of those two men as a result of it, we need to wait upon God. And by wait, I don't mean not doing anything. I mean wait means that we continue to do what God has shown us to do up to that point. We rest in Him, we trust in Him, we give ourselves completely to what He's shown us to do, but we don't try to create a door that's not there. And we don't try to force a solution that God has not revealed. And again, many times this is why God does wait. To stretch our faith, to strengthen our faith, to deepen our faith. We certainly see that's what took place with Abraham. But we need to wait upon him. We usually rush in, try to solve the problem, and we make it worse. We make it more complicated. And we miss the opportunity to grow in faith. And we miss knowing our Father better. We need to rely upon God alone. But then notice, lastly, we need to remain faithful unto God. That means we need to remain faithful unto God, to love, honor, cherish Him, to trust Him, to worship Him. We need to, in fact, be faithful unto His ways, that we don't compromise. We need to do what God has told us to do up to that point. Again, that's what it means to wait. Think of what we read in verses 17 through 18. All of this has come upon us, but we've not forgotten you. There's that faithfulness unto God Himself. And we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. They've been faithful unto God's ways. Our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your way. There's the commitment to God, His plan so far. That's what it means to wait. They continue to go the direction that God's told them to go. Verse 19, yet you've crushed us in the place of jackals, as we read a few moments ago. But you think about what he's doing there. He is remaining faithful unto God. When we're in that situation, you know, what's the old expression? Stay the course. We need to stay the course with God. We need to stay the course in his commands and the ways in which he's told us to live. We need to stay the course with God with his revealed plan until he reveals something else. And then he repeats the importance. Look at verses 20 through 21. If we had forgotten the name of our God or extended our hands to a strange God, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. When it seems, and I do want to stress that word seems, as if God is doing nothing, but remember, God's always working. Sometimes he's working on the solution that we just don't see it. Many times he's working on us to prepare us for the solution, but God's always working. When it seems, however, from our vantage point, that God's not doing anything, remain faithful. That puts you in a position to experience his plan and his purpose in that situation. You know, what's the old hymn state that says, have faith in God? Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Remain faithful unto the Lord. Now hope you are seeing God immediately answer all of your prayers today, this minute, this split second. But there's a chance that you're not, at least not in every area. Remember God's past works. Rely on him alone. Remain faithful unto him. As the hymn says, he'll answer yet. He will fulfill his plan. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are a God who is faithful and trustworthy. Lord, one that we can cling to. Father, thank you for the answers to prayer that we have seen, the answers that you're making right now that we don't see, and Father, the answers that we know, O God, that you will bring about. Father, may we wait upon you, trust you, rely upon you, reminding ourselves of your perfect works in the past. And, O Lord, strengthen our faith in the meanwhile. Lord, thank you that you are a God whom we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you do have a great day with the Lord, that you experience him, that you see him working and moving. And even in those areas where you might not now, you'll see him growing and stretching your faith, and that you'll see his faithfulness and his love even more. But do have a great day in him.